praying and asking God, God, what would you have for an anniversary day? God, where would you want us to go out of 66 books in the Bible? Where would you want us to park for a few moments? What would you want us to concentrate on? And in that thinking and that praying and in that meditation and pleading with God, God brought me not to a what would you want us to think upon, but to a who do you want us to think upon? And God directed me to the book of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, chapter number 29. I wrote some of the passage in the bulletin for you, and you can feel free to use that. You'll need your Bible for the rest of it. But in this passage, it is a marvelous event in the nation of Israel. There's about to be the transition of a king. David has been the king now for almost 40 years. And God had put within the heart of David this vision to build a house unto the Lord. And David wanted to build a temple where God's name could be glorified and where God's people could be secured and they could worship. And God gave him the pattern. God gave him the vision. But God did not allow him to build the temple. God said God had designed that for his son Solomon. And so David, realizing that and recognizing that and understanding that really and truthfully, he was not going to be able to accomplish that part of the dream of his life. David began to get reflective and David began to make different preparation. If you were to read the whole chapter, you would find that in the beginning, David begins to prepare financially and to prepare with building material and prepare so that all of the materials that Solomon would need would be there and available at his discretion so the young man could build the temple. David was concerned about Solomon. We know in verse number 1 that he described Solomon as being young and tender, and he said that the work is great. And so David decides that he's going to go to the congregation of the people. And in verse number 1, he's called all the congregation of Israel, and he's giving them a charge. He's giving them direction. And we find that he gives them a personal testimony in the very few verses there. And then if you look at verse number 6, you get down there and the Bible says, then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribe of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's works offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God. And so David had this vision and he understood the time and he understood what God was doing. And he wanted to bring this vision to the mind and the heart of the people. And so he gathers all the leadership and he's got this congregations of thousands of people before him. And as he pours out his heart and as he lays out the vision that he wants the people to follow according to the leadership of God, the people respond in such a blessed and awesome way. And they respond with a willing heart and they respond with praise. And it's not just one man leading a congregation. Pretty soon they come together and they begin to move as a unit going forward into the work of God. And David is blessed beyond measure. Verse number 9 says that the people began to rejoice for they had this offering willingly because the perfect heart that with perfect heart they offered unto the Lord. And David is looking out on this scene of excitement and he's looking out on the scene of people that are surrendering themselves to the work of God and at great risk and at great sacrifice. And David begins to get overwhelmed by all that is going on. And I think somewhere in the quietness of David's thought process, God brings him to an understanding. And the understanding is found in verse number 14. David looks at this and says, who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, speaking to God, and of thine own have we given thee. Somewhere, David comes to the understanding that all of the blessing that is going on, all of the sacrifice, all of the giving, all of the vision, all of the joy, everything they are celebrating down to the very existence of the material things in their lives is only because God gave it to them. And let me tell you something. We have reason to celebrate today, and we will celebrate. But understand this. All Plantation Baptist Church has is because God gave it to us. David, overwhelmed with the thought of how great is our God, he moves in verse number 13. And he says, "Now therefore, our God, we thank thee. And we praise thy glorious name." Listen, it's not what pastor should preach today. It's who pastor should preach today. And pastor wants to preach that in our celebration, we want to praise and thank the living Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we want to praise his glorious name today. In verses 10 and 11 and 12, David leads the people to praise and thank God for five things. You find in verse number 11, the first thing he wants them to lead in praise is the word greatness. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Number two, and the power. Number three, the glory. Number four, the victory. And number five, the majesty. And so if you look in verse number 10, the Bible says, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation." And I understand that I'm no David, but I understand that this is a congregation of people that love the Lord, and we would say amen to that. And I understand that as your pastor, that I'm the leader of this congregation. And so in this moment, I want to lead this congregation. And I want to stand and bless the Lord. I want to praise him and thank his glorious name. And I think that we have a reason to bless the Lord the same way the nation of Israel did. For his greatness, for his power, for his glory, for his victory, and for his majesty. So I have written on my paper, church, as your pastor, I would love to stand as your representative today. And I want to come to the throne of grace, and I speak to the Heavenly Father and to our blessed Lord Jesus and to his glorious Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And I lift my praise and blessing to you in this moment. I'm not preaching to God, but I want him to hear that we love him. How great is our God? David said, "I praise you," in verse number 11. "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness." Listen, there is a greatness that man can understand. And there is a greatness in humanity. There is a greatness in wisdom. There is a greatness in invention. There is a greatness in athletics. There is a greatness in certain things that you and I can understand. But the ultimate greatness is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what the psalmist said. "Who is so great a God as our God? For the Lord is great, a great God, a great King above all gods. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." And Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, precious Spirit, three in one, our God, we lift our praise and our thanksgiving for thy greatness. I wrote some things down, Lord, that I wanted to let you know that we are praising you and thankful for. For the first thing is for your great love. If you're glad for his love, say amen. Wherein is that love? Wherein that he loved us? Not that we loved him, but that he loved us first, for God so loved the world. Listen, I praise God for his great love. I praise him for his great mercy. We would have no chance at anything if it were not for the mercy of God. 51 years God has been merciful to Plantation Baptist Church. 51 years that mercy has been fresh and new every day. 51 years we have found that it has brought us through great trials of our faith. I want to praise you today, Lord, for your great salvation. salvation. The book of Hebrews talks about so great a salvation. Listen, that lifted me up out of my sin, put our feet on solid ground. Heaven is our home. Eternal life is within us. We have the joy, all your great joy, joy unspeakable, joy that satisfies. The joy of the Lord is our strength, the joy in tribulation. Let me tell you, our God is great in his joy. And Father, we praise and lift you for your great peace. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. My friends, today we have peace with God through Jesus Christ and through him alone. We have peace of God. And that the of God comes from the word of God and prayer. How great is our God? We stand here today to praise his glorious name for his great faithfulness. Jeremiah wrote in the book of Lamentations that thy faithfulness is great. The songwriter said, great is it unto me. Oh, listen, we have seen God's greatness demonstrated in our church. We have seen his love. We have seen his mercy. We have seen his salvation. We have seen his joy. We have seen his peace. And we have seen his faithfulness. And I would join with David if you look at verse number 11. In the middle of that verse, he said, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. And thou art exalted as head above all. My friends, Jesus Christ is the head of our church, and we praise his glorious name. David said, I don't only praise you for your greatness, I praise you for your power. David was the most powerful man on the earth at that time. Nobody dared mess with the nation of Israel. From a youth, when he was but ruddy, he could defeat the giant. He could tear with his own hands the bear and the lion. He was the one Saul had slain his thousands, but David had slain his 10,000s. And David understood the power of God. And he's looking on that congregation as they celebrate. And he's reminding that they only have security because of the Lord. And the psalmist wrote, power belongeth unto God. The voice of the Lord is powerful. Oh, our church has seen God's great power. We have reason to glorify his holy name today. We see his power in creation. Man wants to deny in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. But in this church, God, we believe that Jesus is the creator. We see his power when it comes to salvation. We've seen him change lives. We've seen him take drunkards and make them sober. We've seen him take those bound in fornication and set them free. We've seen him turn the lying tongue into truth. We've seen him take the fear and change it into faith. We've seen him take little and make much. We've seen him take the insignificant and make it great. I'll tell you, we serve a powerful God. We know his power in sanctification. One day, the nations will know his power. And the kingdom of God will be set up upon the earth. And he will rule and he will reign. We praise you for your wonder-working power. We praise you for your miraculous power. We stand here and our testimony for 51 years is nothing is impossible with our God. We've got people that could stand here and say, Pastor, we've seen God's power in our marriage. Pastor, I've seen God's power in my home. Pastor, I've seen God's power in my job, in my relationship. I've seen God's power in my own mind. Our church can say we've seen God's power as he's used us to be a blessing. God's power as he's taken us and increased us. God's power as he's enabled the message to go from here around the world. Listen to what David described in the power in verse number 12. And we would say, hallelujah, amen. Both riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might. And in thine hand it is to make great. And to give strength unto all. If you've seen the power of God in your life, say amen. I want to show you God's power just for a moment. How many in the last year you have come to faith in Jesus Christ? You've been born again within the last year. Would you do me a favor? Would you stand so the church could see? I'll let you sit right back down. But I want you to see those that have been saved over the last year in our church. Let them rejoice with them. Look all around. Thank you. Be seated. Let me show you God's great power. They tell us, don't preach the book. Don't be authoritative. I prayed today. I got here early. I begged God. I said, God, above everything else, give me today the authority of God's word. They said, Pastor, you got to redo it. You can't do church anymore the way that it's said there. We got to retrain you. Let me show you God's power. If you've come to our church within the last year, within you were not here a year ago in September, would you please stand? Let's see everyone that God has brought in his great power to Plantation Baptist Church in the last year. None of you know how to sing? I wish I could. I would never do this. I would never hurt you. But I wish just for a moment that I had the ability to go up and down every one of these aisles and I could say, Mrs. So-and-so, would you stand up? Mr. So-and-so, would you stand up? Just tell the people about when you came in that office back there and you wept and you broke and you said, Pastor, I'm done. I don't even want to live. Pastor, my family doesn't hate me. Pastor, I made such a mistake. Pastor, this is ridiculous. I need help. I wish I could tell you how the power of God through his word just comes into people's lives. The men that say, Pastor, I'd give anything if my eyes could be different. The women that would say, please, the memory, the abuse, just stop it. And we do, we don't know what do? We get on our knees, we take the book, and we cry, God, we need your power. And God begins to move in the lives of our families, and they come back, and now the tears aren't tears of sorrow, they're tears of joy. And they'll say, God did this in my life. I wish you could know about that. David stood there and said, we praise you and thank your glorious name. For your greatness, for your power, and then he put in there, for your glory. Oh, the Bible commentators search for a definition for glory. I found one that I thought fit very well. If you could define glory, it is described as the excellency of anything in display. The excellency or the fulfillment of purpose for anything that's in display. We say it this way, there she stands in all of her glory. We describe a flower and we say, how beautiful and how glorious is it? As God has created things and God created everything good. Here's what happens. Man takes what God creates and he perverts it. God did not create anything evil, my friend. Everything God created is good. And God, when he created it to set within a position of glory. So you buy a new car and it's beautiful and it's stunning and it's perfect. And you step back, you say, man, it's glorious. You look at some scene and you say, it's glorious. And what you're saying is it has fulfilled its purpose and its appearance and its display. And David looks back at all that's going on in the kingdom there. And he steps back and he says, thou art glorious. Glorious. Why? I'll tell you exactly why. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come of the glory of God. Let me tell you, in our sinful humanity, we could never know the glory of God. In our sinful humanity, we did not reflect that appearance and that excellence and that appearance of the Lord Jesus when sin came into our lives. We now reflect the sinful nature of Adam. We now reflect the evilness in our imagination. And so our spirit and our soul and our body was tainted by sin. And we were short of the glory of God. But hallelujah, God loved me. And God sent the Lord Jesus. And because of his death, his burial, and his resurrection, I can be brought into the glory of Jesus Christ, not having mine own righteousness, but clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And David saw all of the righteousness in the kingdom, and he saw it as the appearance and display of his fullness. And he said, this is because you, God, this is your glory reflected in us. And I'm telling you, we have a church today full of people that are reflecting the glory of Jesus Christ, and that needs to be our testimony from now until Jesus comes to get us. He's the hope of glory. He's the has the throne of glory. We are to look for the appearance of glory. The psalm writer said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? Oh, the Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Dear God, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, precious Spirit, we bless you for your great glory. And then David said, don't forget about his victory. Oh, the glory of victory and the agony of the saints will know about that tomorrow night. Yes, they will. By the way, they're not Bible saints. So it's okay to root against them. Amen. You know, David looked at what was going on with such victory. If you're going to celebrate victory, you have to have a victor. And I do want to lift up our God today, and I do want to praise and thank him for his glorious name of victory. I want to read you two passages of scripture. It's all I can do to stay in my shoes on these passages, so I'm going to try to calm myself down. Here's the spiritual victory. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. What does that mean, Pastor? That means that at any moment Jesus could come. That means that not everybody in this room would die. That means that as he comes and he raptures us up, we may not die. He could come before the end of this message. I hope he comes after the meal tonight, but after that, he could come. Paul said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible hath put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Victory. The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have reason to rejoice. We got victory in the Lord. That I know personally is my salvation. But I'm tired of the world thinking we're losers. I understand their thought process, but I've got news for you. Our church is no loser. They think that we're weak. They think that we need a crutch. They think that in somehow that we're insignificant, that we have nothing to offer. They think that we're religious or that we're fake or that we're hypocritical. I'm not going to that church because churches are full of hypocrites. Well, let me tell you something. This church isn't full of hypocrites. We might have one or two. Some of them might be large enough for you to hide behind. We got reason to sing. We've got reason to be here. Let me tell you about when the final curtain draws. John tells us what's going to happen. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he hath on his venture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is our victorious Jesus Christ. Many of us have seen that victorious power displayed in our lives. And God, you know who we are today as we sit here and as we stand. But we gather in celebration and we have seen God do great victories. When people have said, "This, there's no way," God has made a way. When people have said, "It's too hard," God has proven himself that nothing is too hard. There's victories in all areas of our lives. I wish you could know about the great victory that God is bestowing upon the people of Plantation Baptist Church. David said, I praise your glorious name for greatness, for your power, for your glory, for your victory. And let's not forget your majesty. Majesty? That word majesty means beauty and honor. Listen, when Jesus Christ came to the earth, the Bible says in Isaiah that there was no beauty in him that you would desire him. Pastor, what does that mean? That means it's not like here where you come because the church has a good-looking pastor. Nobody looked at Jesus and said, I want to be because he's tall, dark, and handsome. We vote for a president or we vote for positions of authority because of the way people look. How stupid is that? But that's where we are. The Bible says there's no authority. There was nothing in Jesus physically that made him beautiful, honorable, or majestic. But I want you to know something. One of the reasons that we preach the Word of God is because on every single page in this book, you will find that there is great beauty and great honor and great majesty in Jesus Christ. And to those of us that know Him, oh, the splendor of His majesty. Worship His majesty. Bow down in worship. One day we're going to see that majesty displayed in all of its glory. But now we can be clothed in some of that majesty. And we look. Isaiah said that God was able, Jesus would be able to take and make beauty out of ashes. And David is looking at the congregation of the people when they had no hope and remembering when they were scattered abroad and remembering when they lacked beauty and they were fighting and running and cowards. And Goliath stood up and said, "Is there a man among you?" And David remembers all that. Now he's looking at a congregation of people strong in the Lord. He's looking at a congregation of people that have a kingdom. He's looking at a congregation of people getting ready to build a temple. He's looking at a congregation of people clothed in the majesty of God. And David says, "I thank thee and praise thee for thy great majesty." Well, I want you to know something. Our church is covered in the majesty of Jesus Christ. We're robed in his righteousness. He is our King. He is our Lord. And he will not forget those that he loves. And so David stood up and he blessed the Lord for those five things. And I wanted to stand today. And I wanted God to hear it from the pulpit of this church that we bless and praise his glorious name for his greatness, his power, his glory, his victory, and his majesty. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Now look at verse number 20. Now David does something. The Bible says, "And David said to all the congregation, now, bless the Lord your God." So in verse number 10, David blesses the Lord before all the congregation. And in verse number 20, now David wants the congregation to bless the Lord. In a moment, I'm going to have you do that. But prior to the congregation blessing the Lord, David makes a statement about the congregation. I want you to see it in verse number 16. "O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here to offer willingly unto thee, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers. Keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. David is getting ready to ask the congregation to bless the Lord, but before he does that, he asks them how their heart. Now, as your pastor, I have blessed the Lord in representation of our church. Now I'm getting ready to ask you to bless the Lord. I'm getting ready to ask you to do it individually. I'm getting ready to ask you to do it. I'm going to show you how they did it in the Bible. But before you can bless the Lord on this anniversary Sunday, I'm asking you, how is your heart? David said, now, God, you know their heart. God, you know my heart. David said, I came today with an upright heart. David couldn't always say that, but God had given him a new heart. And David said, in my heart, God, I love you and I want to obey you and I walk with you. But God, before the people can bless you, you got to prepare them a heart unto thee. So we're celebrating today. What good is it if we celebrate together and some of us go to hell? So your pastor's asking you, how's your heart with Jesus Christ? Do you know him? Have you been saved? Have you been born again? Well, pastor, I'm a member of Plantation Baptist Church. That won't even get you a cup of coffee anywhere in the city. God knows your heart. Let me say a word to the church member. Those of you that are saved, how's your heart with God right now? Pastor, my heart with God's not perfect. My heart's kind of been turned a little bit. My heart's kind of got, I haven't guarded it too well, and the issues of life aren't too well. And pastor, really and truthfully, I'm here today and I'm celebrating with the church, but if my heart was exposed, it would look different. Would you agree with me that we have reason to bless the Lord? Then you need to listen to the book and to your pastor. God knows your heart. And David said, and I want to read this to you, because this is David's prayer, but he knew this. In Psalm 51, listen to what David said. It'll come back on. There it is. God ain't going to let that happen. He'll turn it back on. Look at listen to Isaiah or Psalm 51. Here's what David said about God. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. See, God's after your heart. And we can do all the outward form of worship, but that doesn't mean a whole lot to God. It's like you're in a marriage. And you, ladies, you have a closet full of dresses and six closets full of shoes. And every single Friday, your man comes home and counts you five $100 bills and says, there you go, enjoy your weekend. Every single month he pays your electric bill. You don't have to work. He pays your food, which is why he has to work. He takes care of you, buys you a nice car. But he's given his heart to somebody else. I don't care how many things he gives to you. When you love somebody, you want their heart. So I'm asking you, church, did you count your tithe today? I counted my offering today. I'm here today. I'm coming back tonight because we got food. God wants and deserves the heart of his people. And David knew that. How's your heart? Would you bow your head and close your eyes? All right, look this way. Just a moment. Find, if you would, verse number 20. This is how David, how they blessed the Lord. In verse number 20, the Bible says, "And David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers." Now watch what they did. They bowed down their head. That's a sign of humility. And they worshiped the Lord and the King. And they sacrificed sacrifices unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord on the morrow after that day, even 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, 1,000 lambs, and with their drink offering and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel, and did eat and drink. We're going to do that part tonight. Before the Lord on that day with great gladness. That's tonight. So what are we going to do this morning, Pastor? Are we going to sacrifice animals? No. Let me read you a verse. Just listen to the verse. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name." Do you know what God wants to hear from you today to be blessed? He wants you to bow your head in a sign of humility, as far as he wants you to be humble. He wants you to have a spirit of worship. And he wants to hear you say, "Thank you, God." I think we could do that together, don't you? So here's what I want us to do. I'm going to count down to three in English. And I want you to go back to verse number 13. And you see, it says, "Now therefore our God," and in the next word is "we." All right? I'm going to count down 1, 2, 3. And then I'm going to read, "Now therefore our God." And when I get to that "our God," then you're going to say it out loud with me. And we're probably going to do it 2 or 3 times. "We thank thee and praise thy glorious name." Do you understand that? All right, here we go. One, two, three. "Now therefore our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." Again, "we praise thee and thank..." Man, the pastor messed it up. That's why I can't sing in the choir. Here we go. We're going to do it 2 more times. "We thank thee and praise thy glorious name. We thank thee and praise thy glorious name." And God's people said,